pray?
I'm ready for this.
You said ready.
Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for you. Thank you so much for all these people that are here tonight, God, that took the time out of their day. Even though school's getting a little hectic, we're getting some more assignments. People got papers that are due tonight. People got papers that are due tomorrow. I mean, it's crazy, but people still made time to be here. And God, I pray that we can make the most of this opportunity. Speak through me, God. Help me to really encourage and use me, God, just to say what you want me to say, Father. We love you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to put a timer here for you guys, because as you guys know, I like to go over time. And so I'll try to stick with the time that we got, all right?
Amen.
So, welcome, guys. So if you guys don't know me, my name is Charles Del Valle, and I'm a student at William Patterson University.
What's up, Charles?
We'll be continuing our theme, Plugged In.
All right.
Now we're going to be plugged into God, plugged into the church, and then plugged into the laws.
Amen.
Right? And so our theme scripture, anybody remember what it was?
Yes.
Let's say it together. 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Woo! I love that passage, right?
It's nice.
And so tonight we're going to be talking about being plugged into the church. All right? And how we get plugged into the church is we have one-on-one discipling relationships that are going to help us to grow and be more like Jesus. So you're probably wondering, what is disciple? Maybe this is your first time here. What does that even mean? Right? So discipling is a relationship that you are invested in to help you grow spiritually and be more like Jesus. And you're probably like, okay, there's relationships going on in this church. What did I come to? This is all, like, what? Let me tell you. Because we're not just trying to talk the talk about Christianity. We're trying to walk
the walk. Not a matter of talk.
Right? We're trying to live out who Jesus was so that we can impact the world.
Yeah.
So if you came here for Christianity, you came to the right place.
Come on, Charles.
We're going to talk about it tonight, all right? So, discipling, right? So I can give you an even better example of what that might look like, but it is a relationship in where you have someone in your life who is a mentor or a coach or a trainer that's in your life that is helping you to overcome adversity, to overcome problems that we go through in life, just to help us to be more like Jesus and to hang on to God.
Yeah.
That is the purpose, and that's why we do it together.
Right.
And you might be saying, okay, where's the scripture that says that? Matthew 28, okay? Jesus says, baptize, right? Yeah. But right after you baptize, he says, teach them to obey everything.
Yeah.
And so that's the, Jesus' plan was not to just for someone to become a Christian, but also for someone to obey to the very end of their lives. Amen? And so Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, right? So this whole idea of iron sharpening iron is about relationship, us helping and sharpening each other, getting off the, you know, the rough edges that we might have in our lives or in our character and those things. And I'm going to say I'm super grateful for the relationships that I have in my life. And I think about Rob Novak. I think about Matt Rupert. I think about Mark Persing. I think about Kyrie Gilchrist. And so many other friends and peers and people in my life I needed desperately to help me to grow spiritually and to be the best Christian I could possibly be.
Yeah.
One scripture that I thought about that I usually think about when it comes to discipling is John the Baptist's heart in John 3, verse 30. He says, this is one of the most powerful things he said. He said, and he's talking about Jesus, he must become greater. I must become less. And that is kind of the scope of what discipling relationships are, is that we want to show Jesus more through our lives and show less of ourselves. Because that's what's going to bring the world to Christ. And that's what's going to bring glory to God. Okay, so why is getting discipling important? Right? And I'm not going to just do preaching tonight. We're going to have some teaching too, okay? So I want you guys to really stay with me, all right? I know you got a lot of teaching, a lot of classes, but this is going to be pretty helpful, okay? So why is getting discipling important? Two things I thought about is discipling protects us from Satan. Hebrews 3:13 says,
good stuff.
But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So it only takes a day for Satan to grab our hearts and pull us away from God. So our relationships are so important. And some of us who've been having a hard heart where, you know, it's hard to listen to people or listen to correction or help, or we know how that feels. We don't even like it when we're in that place, you know. And so these relationships help us. It says encourage one another daily so that we won't get hardened by sensitivity. So it protects us from Satan, right? Second thing, discipling keeps us focused on Jesus. Who here is focused on Jesus 24/7? Raise your hand. Wow. Amen. I appreciate how honest you guys are. Because here's the truth. We're not always focused on Jesus 24/7. Amen?
Yeah.
The first person I think about when I get up is Charles. What are you going to eat? Charles, what class are you going to? Charles. I'm not always thinking about Jesus all the time. So I need people in my life to help me. And if you don't think, and if you actually think, you think about Jesus 24/7, I got a scripture. Romans 12:3 says, do not think of yourself more highly than you are, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. We gotta be honest with ourselves. And discipling, being discipled helps keeps us focused on Jesus in that way. All right, and so, and again, this whole lesson, just to put it out there again, this lesson's gonna be more about getting discipling, all right? So someone who is receiving discipling, all right? Just wanna keep that in mind and make that clear, all right? All right, cool. So, okay, here's a negative connotation that discipling gets, okay? Sometimes we hear the phrase, I got discipled. Anybody heard that before?
Yeah.
Okay, is that always a positive thing when you hear that? Yeah. It's always like, I got discipled. Somebody told me this. And I wanna nip that in the bud right now, okay? Because being discipled is the best thing you can do for yourself. Because the goal is to be more like Jesus and less like yourself. Because that is what's mostly important. And it's become this negative thing. And I think a lot of times in our Western world and our Western thinking today, the whole idea of following someone and letting someone in our lives to correct us and help us grow, it's kind of like, it's so out of the Western mindset. Because everyone's being taught, hey, you need to do things on your own. Do you, boo. Do what you gotta do. And it's like, that's kind of how our world operates. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so.
Do you, boo.
So that's kind of how we operate. So we gotta make sure that we're not falling into the worldly mindset of how the world thinks.
Yeah.
About having people in our lives and helping us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So one thing I wanna talk about too, another thing. We're going to jump through a couple things here, but being discipled and getting discipling is all about your attitude, okay? Your attitude. And what an attitude is, it's your mindset, your thoughts, your feelings, your way of thinking, your outlook on life. You know, what kind of energy you bring to a room when you come into a room. You know, that is your attitude. And I love Philippians 4:8, you know, Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. You know, Paul tells us, hey, look, we need to always be thinking about what's positive. Yeah. And here are three attitudes we can add to our, you know, as we're getting discipled, right? And here's an attitude of optimism. An attitude of optimism. Optimism is hopefulness and confidence about the future or the successful outcome of something. And so when you're approaching your discipling times, you want to be thinking and we want to be faithful of what is God going to do when I get with this person? Man, like, I cannot wait to see what God's going to expose to me. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I can't wait to be a changed person when I get out of that time. Right? Thinking with optimism. Another attitude is gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12-13. We're reading a lot of scriptures. And I hope you guys want more scriptures, right? Yeah, I was hoping that's it. You guys saying yes. Okay, good. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, 13 says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Paul says, hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work.
Wow.
That's such a powerful passage. Paul is saying, look, let's hold them in high honor. People who are taking time out of their lives to get with us. You know, to spend time with us, to show us Jesus. And, you know, here's some things you can do, but, like, even the attitude of just encouraging people that are in your life that are discipling you, loving them, serving them, You know, and I tell you what, let me keep it real here, but I don't know if you knew this, but there's actually a profession out there called a life coach. And what people have to do is they have to pay for services for a life coach to get in their lives and to kind of hear what they're going through. People have to pay for that. We here as disciples, we have the honor of having people in our lives for free that are helping us to be more like Jesus, that are willing to listen to all the stuff that we got going on. We have people in our lives that are willing to do that.
Yeah.
And that's
awesome.
The main foundation of that is love. And so we have to be grateful for the people that are in our lives that are helping us. Attitude number three and final one is humility, an attitude of humility and submission. 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, in the same way, you who are young, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So think about this. When is the due time that God will lift you up? When you decide to have an attitude of humility. That's when he lifts you up. But when humility isn't there, God is opposing. And he wants to help you. And he puts someone in your life to do that. So having an attitude of humility, like, man, I can't wait to learn. I can't wait to grow. Man, I can't wait to see what you're going to teach me. And having that attitude. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So let's jump down. You guys want to hear the practicals, right? What are the practicals? All right, so we're going to go through three phases in practicals. We're going to do before you get with your discipling partner, during your time with your discipling partner, after your time with your discipling partner. You guys are with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. So the practicals, right? And I want to also encourage you real quick. If there's anyone here who's probably visiting for the first time, this is all new, and this is, I want you to really pay attention to this and really try to just take notes. And because whether you're a Christian or not, this is something that's going to help you incredibly.
Yeah.
And this is all coming from the Bible. So we're hoping that encourages you to even read the Bible more. Amen. So really listen to this and grab it. Also, if you're interested in studying the Bible, use these principles to help you grow in your relationship with God. Okay? And so before discipling time, you want to prepare. Okay? Preparation is everything.
Right.
Without preparation, no job, no company, nothing will work. There needs to be preparation. And so Acts 2:42, the first thing before that I put here is be proactive about meeting together. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves. So the Christians devoted themselves to meeting together. That means that no one told them what to do. They did it on their own, right? And so we should have this proactive approach, like, hey, when are we getting together? You know, and not your disciple trying to, does he have to wrestle with you to find a time to get together? You know, it's being proactive is taking initiative. Hey, what time are you free this week? Okay, I'm not free this week. Just fighting and wrestling for that time together. And also, don't cancel your D times. Don't cancel your times together. When you plan out your week, this has to be one of the most important times in your week. Because this is focused on Jesus. And so when you plan your week, really think through so you won't have to cancel. And I get it. There's times where, you know, accidents happen and things happen. But the worst case scenario is to reschedule and try to make it happen that week, you know, in any way. The second thing here is ask questions ahead of time before you even get with them. And what do I mean by that? Text them questions. Hey, when we get together this week, can we talk about these things? Hey, I'm struggling with this. When we get together this week, can you please help me with this topic? Can you help me with what's going on in my life in this area? You know, because what happens is when you give it in ahead of time, whoever's helping you can do the research and do everything they can to help you. So when you get there, you have your time together, they're ready. They're ready to feed you. They're already ready with scriptures and they already got advice and they're doing things already to help you when you get your time together. Amen?
Yeah, good point.
And another point here before, and the most important, is pray about your times together. Amen. Philippians 1:9, this is Paul's prayer. He says, That your, my prayer is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. This is awesome, right? So this is a prayer that Paul's praying that the disciples will grow in their love, grow in their knowledge, and be able to discern what is best. And I think that's one of the most important parts. We can let this prayer be something that we do for ourselves. But before we get with whoever's helping us, we can pray, God, when I leave this time together, I'm praying, God, please help me to decide what is best. Please help me to decide what's going to be best in this situation. What's going to be best if I have a conversation with someone else, or, you know, just try to, oh, we're always trying to do what's best, okay? We don't want to cut corners. And so we want to pray and ask God to really help us to make the best decisions we can for Jesus. Amen. Okay, another practical here before is take about 10 to 15 minutes to prepare ahead of time, right? Good. That will make so much of a difference. Just take 10, 15 minutes and just think through your week. Think of some things that was challenging for you. You know, think of some things that was also encouraging that you want to share, you know, as well. Like, hey, here's some victories I had. Here's some things I've, you know, overcame or things like that. But take time to really think and take 10 to 15 minutes to really think about what you want to talk about. Yeah. All right, I have this thing that I do with Rob, and I don't know if you guys heard of it. Let me check where I'm at on time. All right. Oh, sweet. I'm good. So one thing that me and Rob do together is we have this app called Voxer. I don't know if you guys have Voxer. Okay, we got some Voxer fans in here. All right. So what Voxer is a walkie-talkie type of app. And what happens is, what we do, because the busyness of life, you know, we got school, we got so many things going on. It's hard to really get someone on the phone, you know, and you always got to reschedule and things like that. But what's cool about Voxer is that you can leave a voice message, and whoever you're sending it to can get it whenever they're free, right? So it feels like a phone call, but you're not on it real time. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And so what's cool is that me and Rob use it, and it's so helpful. It helps us stay in touch every day. I send Voxer voicemails ahead of time so that he already knows what we want to talk about the next time we get together. It's so helpful. So I highly recommend use Voxer to really help your discipleship ministry. I think they'll help you a ton. All right. So that's just a little freebie there that I use. Oh yeah, one thing too. If you're gonna get Voxer, please make sure your phone is charged because it does kill your battery. All right. That's fine. All right. Okay. We're moving on to Dory. All right. During your discipling times, this is one of the most important, guys, this is huge. This is huge. During your times together, you have to talk. Yes. Communicating and talking is, this sounds very elementary, but it's crazy how short answered and how shallow those times can be. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Where's this, oh, I don't know what to say, or, you know, the sun's shining today. It's just sometimes the discipling times can just feel a little awkward, you know what I'm saying? But one of the most important parts to talk, Jesus said in Luke 6:45, he says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If you really want your heart to be transformed, Jesus is saying without words, no one can know where your heart is really at. So words really express what's really in your heart. And so Jesus is saying, hey, look, speaking is important, talking, sharing. And another thing here is to ask a ton of questions. Have questions. This is a, You know how conversations work? Is when two people are talking, and guys, I'm not saying this to be like, you know, I'm just saying, look, asking questions builds an amazing conversation. Doesn't it? If someone just asks a question, it can just literally go in so many directions. So asking questions is powerful. And the reason why I'm putting really emphasis on this is because we live in a world that doesn't like to talk to people. We live in a world where we're so stuck to our phones. We don't even know how to communicate with human beings anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like we walk past hundreds of people every day. It's just like the culture that we're living in now, it's just asking questions feels like an insult. Hey, where'd you get your beautiful shoes? Bro, what you talking about, bro? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like anything you say, anything you ask, it becomes this weird, hey, I don't know you. Like, why are you talking to me? Look, we can't have that in the church.
Why are you grilling me?
We gotta ask questions. We gotta be real. We gotta be truthful.
Yeah.
We gotta be open because we're trying to learn. Jesus, Luke 2, 46 to 47. It says, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Man, if Jesus is asking people questions, I need to ask a lot of questions. You know what I'm saying? And then the result of that in verse 47 was, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Guys, if you go into your D-groups with tons of questions, I promise you, you will be transformed when you leave. You will be transformed because guess what? It's the Spirit of God that's working in that time.
Yeah.
And God wants to transform you. And the result is that people are going to be amazed at your understanding and amazed at your answers. That's kind of like a result from just asking questions, right? That's something that Jesus did that was amazing. Another thing here, let's see where I'm at on time. Rob, am I good? All right. Sweet. All right. So, another one is make your conversations spiritual. Make your conversations spiritual. Discipling times is not the time to spend the whole time talking about that show that was on Netflix last night. The NFL game, and I love football, and I'm always tempted to talk about football all the time, you know what I'm saying?
But I don't know.
My times with Robin, it's like, I gotta focus on what I'm gonna grow in. You know, I gotta focus on, all right, what am I talking? You can have a little small talk, I'm not trying to be legalistic here, like, hey, look, can't talk about sports or anything like that. But a majority of your time should be, how can I be more like Jesus? Like, that's just the goal.
Yeah.
And we gotta spend our time just having more spiritual conversations in our time together. We gotta be spiritual. Talk about things, you know, try to even learn what your disciple is going through. You know, ask them questions too. Because it's not just a, hey, someone's above me, but we can even help each other.
Yeah.
You know, ask questions.
Yeah.
And do that and make your time spiritual. Another one, seek to get advice. Okay? Seek to get advice. Seeking to get advice is one of the best gifts that God gives us. Think about this. Think about where outside the kingdom of God will you be able to get good, sound advice? Because if Google is your only way to advice, I'm sorry, you're going to be so confused. You're not going to know what to do. And I love Google. That's my number one search engine.
Especially my
But medical. That's not the best place. You know, you don't want to get your advice from Yahoo Answers, okay? You don't want to get your advice from these things. You want to get your advice from spiritual people. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And outside of the church, it's just hard to find out, hard to get good advice, to get what is good and what we need. And the church is the gem for that.
Yeah.
And that's something that God has given us.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but I made too many mistakes in my life. And seeking advice has spared me so much heartache. In so many ways, I mean, financially, emotionally, you know, I made so many mistakes. And really, if I would have had just one conversation about what I was gonna do, it would have changed the course of everything. Sometimes it's just one conversation, one question you ask that will literally change the course of the outcome of that situation. And so getting advice is so key. So what are some things you can get advice on? Get advice about your priorities, you know? Get advice about uses of your time. How do you use your time? You know, I asked Rob, hey, this is what happened last week. Do you feel like that was a good use of my time? What could I change up? What could I do better to grow and use my time more wisely? What should I do? Hey, how should I go back to my family? You know, when I visit my family back at home? Hey, what are some things that would be helpful to help serve my family and to love my family better? You know, you can also get advice about entertainment options. Hey, is this a good movie I should be watching? Hey, is this something that is gonna, you know, it has this many curse words in it? Is this something I should be listening to? You know, is this music? Anything, any entertainment options? Or ask, is this gonna be glorifying to God if I watch this? and get advice about that. Finances is a big one. And I know that a lot of college students don't have a lot of money. Okay, we're working towards that. I understand that. But there's still a lot of decisions we can make now to make graduation much more less stressful. All right, man? So there's advice and things on finances that we can get now that can help us. And also, one quick disclaimer, seeking advice is not getting someone to agree with you. Okay? So I'm gonna share with this many people, and once I find out someone who agrees is on my same level, then, okay, I'll take that advice. Yeah. No, that's not how advice works, okay?
Really?
How advice works is you ask, and even if it's something that goes against what you want to do, but you know it's right, take that advice. Yeah. Getting advice is not seeking to get someone to agree with you, but it's to decide to discern what is best,
yeah.
What we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Okay? All right, awesome. So we'll skip down here because of time a little bit, but another one is really simple, take notes. I'm sorry, but I haven't met that one person who literally can hear someone speak for 40 minutes and know everything that they said. I haven't met a person that's done that. And if there is, please talk to me if you're here, because I would love to know how your amazing brain can do that in 45 minutes. But take notes, you know, take notes. Oh man, it works wonders. You know, get a notebook that you can use specifically for your times together. Because honestly, I got a bad habit of having miscellaneous notebooks. I don't know if you know. Right? So I have a notebook that has everything in it. I mean, I put my cooking recipes in it. I got my time I spent with that brother, time, you know what I'm saying?
Cookie
recipes. I can't even find where I put everything, you know?
Shimon, what's going on, Devin?
And he's like, yo, what we talked about last week? You know, talked about baking a pie and making tea. There's an old snap, that's the wrong notes. So make sure you're a little organized with those too, and try to get a notebook where you are just focused on your silent times. It will just help you. Okay? Awesome. And last but not least, take initiative to bring it back to Jesus. You don't have to wait for your discipler to bring Jesus into the conversation. You can take the initiative for that. You can say, all right, this is what I'm going through, but can you please show me how Jesus would handle this? Can you please show me how Jesus will find a solution for this situation?
Yeah.
You know, you can even take the initiative to do that. And what's crazy is how the core of discipling is Jesus-centered. And it's crazy how much of our discipling times aren't talking about Jesus. And we're not looking at scriptures about Jesus and always pointing to Jesus.
Right. Come on.
That's who we need to go to.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. Jesus has been through everything that you've been through.
Yeah.
He overcame everything. He lived a life, and if you never knew this, he never sinned.
Yeah.
We have to go to Jesus, man. He's going to give us inspiration. He's going to give us confidence. He's going to give us hope.
Right.
But what happens is we leave discipling times, and we didn't share not one scripture about Jesus. And our hearts will never change anymore, because this is who we're following.
Right.
And so we can take initiative to do that and ask, how can I be like Jesus?
That's good.
Okay. Last but not least, after.
Awesome.
So after is, again, the number one most important thing is to pray. Pray about what you just discussed together. Pray about decisions that you're going to make. And pray about new convictions that are going to develop.
Right.
Because James chapter 1 verse 22 says, well, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it. I'm sorry, no, that says, if you just talk about it in your D time. Oh, wait, no. And continues in it. Not forgetting what they heard, but doing it. What is the result? They will be blessed in what they do.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, everyone wants to be blessed, but they don't want to do what it takes to be blessed. And this scripture is saying very clearly that not forgetting what you've heard, but doing it, you will be blessed in everything that you do.
Yeah.
The only difference is making a decision to do it,
right.
And God's going to do the rest.
Right. Yeah.
That's so encouraging. It takes so much pressure off of me. You know what I'm saying? Next is share your lives together. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It says, This is Paul speaking to the church. So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Man, this is a powerful passage. I can forget how powerful this is. Guys, your disciple, this is not just a, hey, look, teach me to be like Jesus, have a good day, peace. No, no, no. The Bible says that we don't just share the gospel, we share our lives as well.
Yeah.
Be friends. Be friends.
Yeah.
Like, really get involved in each other's lives. Hang out together. Let's go grab food together. Let's go to the movies together. Hey, man, come with me down the street and go get some Tylenol at Walmart. I don't know, but just... Do life together.
That's,
you know,
good, man.
Let it be your, this should be your friendship. I'm looking for a friendship as well. Because what happens is, if the friendship isn't there in your discipling relationships, it's just going to feel religious. It's just going to feel like, oh, this is just another meeting. And we need the relationship aspect of it. Because we want to build memories that will last a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, you want to look back. I don't think about the day. This is pretty serious, but think about the day. We can't really think about it. You could think about the day. Okay, think about the day when you're no longer going to be here on this earth. Right? And you want someone that's going to be up there sharing about how much you've impacted their lives.
Yeah.
And you want to be, you want someone to say amazing things about you. And you want to live your life and die a faithful disciple. And these are qualities, these are things that are going to help you. And you want to share about all the memories, all the good times you had together, all the ridiculous things you did together, you know, things that you did not get advice about that you did together, you know what I'm saying? And that's going to happen too, but it can be funny. It can be funny sometimes. But you just want to share life together. You want to be friends and have a friendship. Some people are thinking about memories already or something. So. So, okay, just to wrap it up here, we got two more. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay, after, share with someone else about what you're learning. So powerful. And I love the meetings of the body, just midweek and Sunday service. You get a chance to really just share it. Like, hey, look, hey, man, this is what I've been learning in my times with God. And hey, this is what I've been learning as, you know, whoever's in your life is teaching you. Hey, like, share it with people. I can't tell you how much I learn from other people's mistakes. You know, I'm just keeping it real, you know? And I want people to learn from my mistakes. You know, and when we share with people, there might be somebody right now that if you share what you're learning tonight, they might not sin tomorrow because of what you shared with them.
Wow.
And they were going through the same exact thing you were doing.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's so much power in sharing what you're learning. Right. We're not here to just keep it to ourselves, but let's share with other people and encourage and lift others up. And this is the last thing, is share your victories throughout the week. Share victories. I know a lot of times it's really easy to just kind of share what's wrong with me, right? Oh, this is what I'm going through. And, oh man, this and that. And it just becomes, you know, it just doesn't get anywhere, right? Share your victories. Share the victories you have together. Share the victories. Hey man, let me tell you, man, I was so tempted to be selfish the other day, and I decided to be selfless, and I felt so much better. Man, it's just some of the best times to just overcome selfishness is just to be selfless and help somebody else, you know? And just sharing that with other people, sharing victories, man, that's gonna build such a powerful church, such a powerful ministry. When you're just sharing victories together as well. And I do want to lift you guys up because I see a lot of that in our grouping together, right? There's always people sharing, saying, hey, look, this is what happened to me this week. This is what I did. This is what happened with me. Look how I overcame that. There's so much of that in our group. And let's continue that and do it with each other as we're here together as well. All right, guys, so I want to end this off with this last passage that I feel like is so powerful. It can really change our lives. Remember this passage. So Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask in our D times, or imagine in our D times, according to his power that is at work within us. Whose power is it? The power God. Guys, I don't know what you're imagining right now. I don't know what you're asking for right now. But whatever it is, God is saying that he can do immeasurably more than what you're even thinking about right now. He wants to do immeasurably more than what your disciple can even do for you. He wants to do even more than that. God is always thinking more, 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 more. God is a God who doesn't settle for less than mediocrity. God is a God of power that wants to transform you. And he wants to use people in your life to transform you and do incredible things in your life. So campus, are we ready to get the discipling that we need to be more like Jesus?
Yeah.
Are we ready to go out on campus that when people see you, they don't even see you, they see Jesus? That when you walk around the world and people see how you love, how you care about people, the relationships you have, that they're gonna just literally be craving for what you guys possess because of the power of God. That when you walk around this world, people are gonna realize that there's hope. And guys, that's who you are today. Because God can do immeasurably more than you can ever ask or imagine. And so let the people that are discipling us in our lives to help us to be the best that we can so that we can conquer the world for Christ.
Amen. Amen.